Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Oh. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. And welcome to the Juan Epstein podcast. Or the Juan Ep. Juan Ep is life. I don't know.
Juan EP. And I'd like to say this. Before anything else, this is very important. I need everyone to pay close attention, because if you don't, you're going to be missing out on one of the important themes of this week's big episode. And I mean big. Ooh, I'm saying big episode of Juan Ep. Here we go.
Oh. Come on. Check it out.
Sife, this song is called Big Papa.
That's right.
By the notorious Biggie Smalls Papa. I have to tell you, to this day, I still believe lyrical douches in your bushes is one of the most brilliantly crass lines ever uttered in hip hop.
Man.
I know what you're saying out there, Juan Eppers. You're saying, but why?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, listen, I promise you, and within moments, we're going to get to this Kendrick situation.
What's the situation?
The Kendrick situation. But I just need to discuss something real quick. I had the most ultimate Juan Ep week. The most ultimate Juan Ep week. First of all, I'm shooting my TV show.
Which should be a Juan Ep TV show. So it's always going to feel like Juan Ep every time you do it.
That's right. We're working on it. We're working on it.
Are we?
I spoke to Todd.
You did?
Yeah.
What did Todd say? Are we good?
Not yet.
It needs work?
Huh?
It needs work? No, like, I mean, with me. Is he good with me?
Yeah, yeah, it was fine.
He didn't say anything negative.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, good. Good. Good.
So the show, we were discussing Notorious B.I.G. We went to Biggie's block, and we were my guest was Little C's. And first of all, delightful human being.
I love him.
I mean, Little C's, I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to DJ for Little Kim. Back in the day.
Did not know.
Actually, you know what's so funny? I said that to the showrunner of my show, and she was like, really? Like, she was genuinely excited.
You finally got someone to actually care? You're so used to being mocked for this actually really cool thing.
I would say mocked. I would just say it's an inside joke.
It is. But it feels like mocking because it's such a repeated inside joke.
It's an internal mock.
Yes.
It's an internal mock. I've all these stories. You know, a big part of my career comes from those Little Kim days.
Damn right.
Little C's, in a weird fucking way, was a big influence in my hip hop life.
Sure.
Used to play me Biggie songs for Life After Death before they even came out. I heard almost the whole album before it came out. It was an amazing time in my life. At the time, I wasn't appreciating it as much as I should have. Little C's back then, he was young. He was on fire. He was a little bit of an asshole sometimes. But now, in his golden years, he is...
Think he's on the way out?
No, is golden years a bad term?
I think golden years is like golden girls, bro.
Okay, it is refined years.
Okay.
A lovely individual. Me and him had a great time shooting, told all these old stories. And in a moment, I decided to get some TikTok and Instagram content. And the piece of content I decided to get was the famous line from Big Papa that you just played.
No, here we go. That's fine. I'm fine. Who
you
be? With things to make you smile,
what numbers to dial, you gonna be, here for a while. My crew, you gonna call
your crew. Here we go, it's coming up. Plans to leave, throw the keys to Little C's, pull the truck up front and roll up the next
blunt. So we can see on the way to the telly, gonna fill my belly, a T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's great conversation. Now, for years and years and years, there's been controversy about T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Now, the controversy I know is, did he mean grape soda or grape juice? That's always been the chitter chatter.
Both made by Welch's.
Welch's grape. Now, I decided to ask C's about this, and he confirmed my...
More than sneaking suspicion, your theory.
Not even theory, something that I just knew, but it had to be confirmed by the guy who was sitting next to Biggie at the diner getting the T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and what's. And it's funny, when I used to be, I don't know if you guys know this, I used to DJ for Little Kim.
We just covered that.
They would always eat cheese, eggs, because I didn't put eggs on my cheese when I was
cheese on your
up.
Eggs.
cheese on my eggs. So anyway... So I ask him, I go, hey, was Biggie talking about grape juice, grape soda? He confirmed grape soda. I'm happy I got a little piece of content. Here's something funny, hip-hop related, Cypher Sounds, Juan Epp style. It's on the gram.
Funny.
It's
good
been
stuff.
Confirmed grape soda. Then the comments are going wild. Boom, boom, boom. No way. He's lying. How can it be grape? Why would you eat grape soda at breakfast? Okay, good point. It wasn't technically breakfast.
No, you don't know when it was.
After the club late.
On our way to the telly, gonna fill my belly.
On the way to the telly, he's gonna go fuck this random bitch.
I just love Biggie's confidence, by the way. Just met a girl at the club.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go fuck her.
Yeah.
But first, I wanna stop. I'm gonna get some eggs, a T-bone steak.
Yeah, steak and eggs.
It's a serious meal, though. Like, that's an... Like, Saif, if you were getting ready for fucking, are you having a full steak and eggs meal?
In my day, before we would meet girls, bring them to the Chelsea Square Diner, get full meals, and then go handle our business.
Wow.
That was our prime time hours. So, here we go. Comments. I didn't know Welch's made grape soda. Apparently, Welch's grape soda is a regional thing, maybe just a New York like area. Because I know Welch's grape soda my whole life. Some people, I never heard of that. It's got to be grape juice. Why would you drink grape soda? First of all, Biggie and his crew, Junior Mafia, let me tell you something. Biggie changed the course of hip-hop in his day. But in the core of it, just some ghetto-ass motherfuckers, right?
Well, of course. These are regular people.
I wouldn't even doubt. I understand your argument about grape soda at breakfast, but I wouldn't
possibly
even
would
doubt.
Have had it at breakfast.
Highly possible. Highly likely. You're rich. You're 21. You're rich. It's like, remember when we had Prodigy on the show and he's like, he was rich. And he's like, yo, I got mad cereal.
Yep.
And he's like, I got all the, like, my goal is being rich is having all the cereals my moms wouldn't let me have.
Yep.
Or we couldn't afford. It's some ghetto shit. So now, boom. So I'm dealing with the arguments about the grape juice, grape soda. I've heard of Fanta. I heard of Sunkist. I never heard of Welch's grape soda. Well, I'm sorry. You're not from New York. But then somehow jelly gets in the mix.
Yeah, well, people jumped in and said, wait, I thought he meant grape jelly.
Jelly. Like, okay, he's eating T-bone steak and eggs. There probably was a toast situation.
Sife, I know this isn't going to play well, and it may be the beginning of the end of. I'm already living down from a few weeks ago when I didn't know that Swayze meant ghost. So
no, how?
So I thought it was Welch's grape jelly. I thought it was. I pictured the little packets of jelly on the table.
Understandable. I stumbled onto some great. This is a 29. What year is that? 94. How long is this?
28 years ago.
It's a 30-year conspiracy. So all the time you've ever heard that song, you're thinking when you picture Biggie eating the T-bone steak and eggs, you're thinking grape jelly.
Yeah, I thought I was picturing like, hey Natalie, when Biggie said T-bone steak. Cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. She thought the juice.
Okay.
She said, who the fuck would say jelly? It turns out it wasn't the juice. It's actually the Welch's grape soda, not the jelly, not the juice. You knew it was a beverage. You didn't know if it was soda or juice.
Thank you.
Fair. Okay, there you go. Yeah, but she knew it was a beverage. I thought it was
now,
jam.
Listen, you know the stereotypical, the stereotype of black people drink grape soda.
Natalie just said only I would eat jelly with a steak. First of all, I wouldn't eat jelly with a steak.
No, because when it's breakfast,
it's steak and eggs. He's having breakfast, so if there was a piece of toast and you put a little jelly on it, and then guess what? You take the bread with the jelly, you put on the eggs, you put it all in a little thing, and you take a bite of it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that in general. But not in this lyric. So now, Tom Segura, the comedian Tom Segura,
yes.
me and him have become friendly recently. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to figure out how I can go on stage with him and do some of this DJ shit, but it just hasn't been working out timing-wise. But he's a connoisseur of hip-hop.
Okay. Oh, really?
And I respect him throwing comments my way every once in a while. And he came at me.
What did he say?
Bro, he's like, it's jelly.
No, he was authoritative about that?
He's saying jelly, right? So he made his argument. He made some solid points of, sorry, it's breakfast time. There had to be a toast situation. I said, yeah, no doubt. And he goes, you don't even have to ask for the jelly. They bring you butter, jelly, and cream cheese in those little packets. You choose. Okay, I said, yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense.
But what are we talking about? It's over. You found out from the horse's mouth.
But that's what I was saying to people.
It's over. I don't know. All due respect, Tom Segura, shut the fuck up. Little C's smoke.
The guy, there's nobody closer to Big than Little C's. I mean, you might say Puffy, but C's was with him every single day.
No. Biggie loved C's in a different way. Puffy's his man, but that was business.
I'm just saying, if you think of hip hop industry, you think Biggie and Puff, of course, but C's was
C's was his guy.
They lived in the same house. I was in Biggie's house all the time. Biggie was just never there. It's fucking asshole.
But it was essentially where C's lived.
Yeah, C's, Kim, Mafia, Tiana, everybody. So here we go. So this is how I squashed it all. Okay. Here we go. I've heard Biggie and I've heard C's many times say the term Welch's grape.
Okay.
That is the slang for what we now know as Welch's grape soda, Welch's grape. So I said to Tom Segura, I said, listen to me. In this scenario, yes, you have some legs to stand on with it being jelly because there's a toast situation probably. But let's take Biggie out of this diner at 2 a.m. Let's put Biggie on a corner somewhere in Brooklyn selling crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. He yells out to one of his underlings, maybe even Little C's. He yells out to him, hey, do me a favor. Go to the store. Get me a Welch's grape. Is Little C's coming back with a bottle of fucking jelly?
Of course not. Of course not. Of course not.
The confusion is apparently Welch's grape soda is not a nationwide thing.
But juice is nationwide.
Okay. That's why the argument was always juice.
I'm going to throw something out here, though. How do you know at the diner that you're going to that the Welch's, if you were ordering juice, how would you know that it's Welch's grape juice? You're just ordering grape juice. By the way, do diners have grape juice?
Yeah. Diners have everything.
That is true. They do generally have everything.
My Chelsea Square diner, I like a Snapple. The guy would literally go to the store next door and get Snapple for me. Because I didn't want their icy. I wanted Snapple.
By the way, let's just put a bow on this thing. It's over. Yeah. Little C's has spoken. That's it.
Where did the fucking jelly come from?
But you understand why it happened. But the people like myself and Tom Segura and anyone else, we just need to fall back because we don't have the same experience.
It was a kerfuffle.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like a kerfuffle.
It was a kadoo.
A big kadoo? Not. It wasn't much kadoo about nothing.
No, it was a lot of kadoo about something. Here's the deal. C said what it was. My conscience is clear.
No, you've done what you had to do. Now, you did something very important for hip hop.
Now, your boy. What's going on with this guy?
What are you talking about?
Kendrick Lamar.
What do you mean? Is there a controversy?
No. Bro, you know what's so funny?
What? Talk to me.
I said to myself.
I'm very confused about what you're saying right now.
No, I'm saying good things.
Okay.
I said to myself, it's been a long time since this guy dropped. The only thing I heard from Kendrick was he did that feature on the Baby Keem song.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's taken so long for him to come out. He's probably about to drop a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he's, bro, what? It's not even hip hop.
Wait, so
it's not even an album.
So wait, you listened.
Oh my God, I listened.
You dove in.
All the way through. I was in Denver. I went on a run and it got me through the whole, I listened to the entire thing.
Wow, that's a long run.
Yeah.
Hour and 13 minutes. So I'm so pleased to hear this. I assumed, I don't know why, but I sort of assumed you were going to be in the standpoint of the haters because there are a lot of people hating.
The haters? What are they hating?
Oh.
So what can you possibly hate?
He's getting a lot of blowback. He's
on
it. People are
how?
Well, first of all, the people in our Discord, for example, and they're not the only ones like this. I've seen this a lot of other places.
Uh-huh.
People think it's trying too hard. They think it's over the top. Billy June, how would you describe the sentiment in the Discord, at least, and other places? Well, I know it's other places, too, but at least in the Discord, how would you describe what people are saying about the Kendrick?
They said it was it should have been a poetry book.
Right. It's too arts. What it is for them, it's too artsy-fartsy. Yeah.
And then they started talking about the top artists, and he's not them.
Wait,
they were going very hard on saying.
Wait, they
he's
said
not
what?
A top lyricist anymore.
Okay,
no, he's bro. He is.
They were like Dr. Dre.
I don't even know. Okay, so let's forget. I'm sorry, Billy. I shouldn't have dragged you into this.
He's living, walking, talking art. Under the guise of hip hop, I mean, it's music, but it's more than music, bro. This guy's living art.
So if you get the Kendrick album, this is how I look at it.
Yeah.
And you wanted to, you know, just ride, just like, you know, you just want to play it in the background while you're driving or you're pre-gaming or you're hanging with people. I get it. This is not the album for that. This is not that. This album is, I'm going to sit down, whatever it is that you do to really get music in your house, go for a drive by yourself, light up a blunt, whatever it is that you do, you get in that zone of, I'm going to listen. I'm going to really listen to this. That's how you're going to consume. If I'm being real about it, over time, I probably won't listen to every song on a regular basis. I'll pull the songs that I listen to the most. I'm not going to... The song We Cry Together, the one where with the guy and the girl fighting.
Yeah.
Like,
favorite song.
I wouldn't listen to that regularly.
That will be in my rotation forever and ever.
You don't find it unpleasant? Like, I just find it so sad and unpleasant.
It's 100% unpleasant. It's dysfunction. Bro, there's so many lines in that.
Oh my God. He had lines on this album that made me rethink about things that I'd never thought about before.
You know what? You know, I'm in my 40s, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a long time. I finally understand when you go to a museum and you see people staring at a picture, a painting for almost an hour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck are they looking at? Okay, you see, there's an angel baby. Fine. I apologize to those people because that's what this Kendrick album made me feel like. I had to stare at it, but it's staring with my ears. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't like the video he put out.
I didn't even watch it last week. I didn't even watch. You mean the first one, the heart part five?
Yeah, I didn't love it. I didn't love his all his weird movements and face changing shit. But this shit, I was like, let me throw this on. I love Kendrick.
Syph, listen, bro, this joint here.
He says, hold on.
Go ahead, please.
Because you spoke about We Cry Together.
Mm-hmm.
As an R. Kelly fan, there's two R. Kelly references on the album, which are fucking bazanging, yo. As an R. Kelly fan of music, which I hate what he's done with his life, but I am a true R. Kelly music fan. Actually, I just saw this thing on TikTok the other day with Lil Boosie. I guess it was Vlad TV, and he was asking him, is R. Kelly more relevant than Michael Jackson? And Boosie was like, yes, 100%. He's saying to my people, to me and to my people, R. Kelly means more than Michael Jackson. And I can absolutely see that. But the line, she goes, do you know that girl on that song?
On what?
On We Cry Together?
Taylor Page?
Yeah.
I don't know her. I mean,
do you think Kendrick wrote all that?
Natalie asked me that. I don't know. I would assume so. I mean, she's an actor. So, but I don't know.
He wrote it. She delivered it, but he wrote it.
Yeah, she's literally an actor. She starred in the movie Zola. Like, she's an actor.
Okay. So, bro, when he goes, she goes, you're the reason why R. Kelly doesn't think he's abusive.
Yeah.
And then he goes something like, yeah, but your friends still listen anyway. Like,
still listen to her music. Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
No. And then that whole thing about women. The whole thing about women hating on each other, and he's like, that's why when so-and-so got a job, you stopped calling. That's why when this one, you stopped. That's why R&B chicks won't get on each other's songs.
I mean,
and then the way that she tears him apart, the way that
I never really thought about, like all rappers get on each other's shit. I never put that together with R&B chicks, why they don't get on each other's shit that much. You can count the songs. You know, Monica and Brandy,
happen.
You remember Dave Chappelle Block Party when Erykah Badu and Jill Scott are having this fucking tantrum on stage against each other? Like, it's great. Yo, that shit is bananas, bro.
That, first of all, shouts to Alchemist who did this record. Let's just hear the beat for a second, at least.
Alchemist did Oh,
yeah, that's Alchemist. Business.
Confrontational ass, dumb bitches. You wanna bring a nigga down? Even when I'm trying to do right, we can go our separate ways right now. You can move on with your life.
Fuck you, nigga. You love a bitty party. I won't show up. Always act like your shit don't stink, motherfucker. Grow up.
Now here's the thing: I can't believe people aren't thinking about. Okay, you're thinking about driving around. You're thinking about going to the gym. You're thinking about just listening to this album in a casual way. All I'm thinking about when I hear it from the opening note to the end is what that fucking stage show is going to be like. It's going to be incredible.
Stage show, bro.
It's like, going to be, this is a musical, bro. This is, a lot of people don't like musicals. So I get it. They don't like it. They don't want the characters, the feelings, the emotions, the, you know, there's a lot of, and by the way,
a lot, bro. It's a lot.
And by the way, it's a lot. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to undersell this. It's dense. It is a dense body of work. Like,
it's a great way to put it.
You're going in. Like, it's like, I'm gonna feel things here. It's not passive. But people, yo, you guys, the people who are writing it off, saying it's either not good or just it's too much, I don't want to hear it. I don't know what to tell you. I get it though,
because you gotta I mean, there's no way. I'm telling you right now, there's no way I can even contemplate it. In one listen, you're gonna hear shit for years on this album.
I'm only two full listens through, beginning
to
end.
You're gonna hear
twice.
Shit for years, because here's the thing about this album, which I don't even want to call it an album, this fucking masterpiece. You're listening right now, you Juan Epper, in 3 years when you finally decide to go ahead and get therapy because that shit is bothering you and you know you should be going to get therapy, and then you listen to this album 4 years from now, you're going to hear all this other shit.
Bro, how do you think I feel? I don't know if you noticed this part. He talks very clearly about serious mistakes he's made in his relationship. That shit hit me on a different level. If you guys aren't hearing, yo, he talks a lot in this album about sex addiction, cheating, being a fucking piece of shit, things that Kendrick has never shown us. He's never talked about that. He's talking about his wife by name and all the shit that he's done. Like,
I met his daughter and shit.
Daddy
issues joint.
Oh my God. Sife, I know this is the most basic shit in the world. He has that line about rappers with, face tats and jewelry.
No, I don't remember that one.
It's like a bar about how like rappers with face tats and jewelry, it might be the Daddy Issues one, are all just like basically hurt souls trying to cover something up.
You think so?
and I know it's like super obvious, but like I never thought about it that way. Like I really don't. I don't think about the fact that a lot of the artists who are out there with face tats and covered in jewelry and looking sort of like a cartoon, I don't think about them in a way that they're probably hurt. He says, he says blatantly, in many cases, sexually abused and abused. Like, he's very deliberate about how bad abuse is. Yo, he brings up sexual abuse multiple times on the album, including the story he tells about his mother insisting over and over again that his cousin may have sexually abused him. And he's like, no, he did. I was not sexually abused. But then his mother admits that she was sexually abused, so she's worried that he was. Yo, it's deep, bro.
Man. Yeah, man.
And it's not music to just drive by casually, but that's not what this is. Not all art's the same. Like, we have that.
You know, he's giving you plenty of those.
Yeah, he gives you those bangers. And by the way, there are some great just tunes on here. Like,
also, when you go and make your little playlist and pull out songs that you really like, it's going to be great. But, like, he's giving you how many albums? How many albums has he had?
Depends how you look at it. If you include Untitled Unmastered, 5.
Or what about, do you include Section 80 or whatever it's
If you include
called?
Section 80, 6. If you include Overly Dedicated, 7. If you include Black Panther, 8.
Right, Black Panther's a big,
So somewhere between 5 and 8, depending how you look at his career.
Bro, he's like what Andre... like what we wanted Andre to be or should be or continuation of Andre 3000. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Andre's just over it. But this is what he was doing. He's definitely inspired by Andre 3000.
That's an interesting point. Like, you're saying Kendrick sort of took the ball from what Andre was doing and Andre did started, like a full project in that. Like, he jumped all the way as far as you could go.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, another thing he's getting beat up for is, and this is, I think we should talk about this, is...
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do, is Auntie Diaries.
Which one is that?
It's the one about his trans, his uncle who became his aunt.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of controversy, I know, around him using the F word.
Right.
And the way he chose to use it. And then there are some people...
In the song. Bro, it's art. And it's art. He's explaining.
So he says here at the
end
of the song.
It's like saying the F word in Rent.
Here, let's listen to the last minute. It's a building deep song about two different trans family members of his. And here's the last minute of it.
Demetrius is Marianne now. Church is auntie, is a man now. It hurt you the most because your belief was close to his words, forcing me to stand now. I said, Mr. Preacher Man, should we love thy neighbor? The laws of the land of the heart was greater. I recognized the studies she was taught since birth, but that I'm justified the feelings that my cousin preserved. The building was thinking out loud, bad angel. That's when you looked at me and smiled, said thank you. The day I chose humanity over religion, the family got closer, it was all forgiven. I said, them F-bombs, I ain't know any better. Mistakenly, I ain't think that you know any different. See, I was taught words was nothing more than a sound if ever they was pronounced without any intentions. The very second you challenged the shit I was kicking, reminded me about a show I did out the city. That time I brought a fan on stage to rap, but disapproved a word that she couldn't say with me. You said, Kendrick, ain't no room for contradiction. To truly understand love, switch position. Faggot, 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 we can say it together. But only if you let a white girl say nigga.
I saw the clip of that.
What, the clip of the white girl?
Yeah, the white girl.
Oh, I remember it. It's funny. When listening to it, I remember that clip. I remember that going around back then. So he says it throughout the song, and then he gets to the point where he says F-bombs. You heard him say F-bombs. Yeah. So it's almost like he graduated to by the end of the song saying F-bombs, like he doesn't want to say it. But then he goes back to it and says it at the end. And listen, I can't, as a hetero male, tell the LGBTQ community how to feel about that record. Y'all take it, everyone can take it how they want. For me, I trust Kendrick. He has earned my trust as a fan. And throughout this album, the vulnerability and bravery that he shows around these topics, listen, if you don't like that he included the F word, I get it. I understand that. And you have that right. I would probably not do that. But I saw people saying, oh, he should have just left that off. He shouldn't have said this. He shouldn't have put the song out. Let's, you know what? Save it, Kendrick. We don't need to hear it from you. Listen, man, so you don't want great artists to express their art if it comes across in a way that it offends you. And just to put the shoe on the other foot, I'm a white person who does not say the N-word. That doesn't mean I don't think that I don't love Tarantino movies.
Right.
Like, I choose not to. I think the best policy is just to not use that word. But, like, I don't see anyone... I just watched the Curb episode the other day where Larry's talking to Crazy Eyes Killer.
Yeah.
And he's like, am I... He says, you're my N-word? And Larry's like, yeah, I'm your N-word. He says, like, five times throughout the episode.
Wait, he says the word?
Yeah. No, Larry says it. Larry says the actual word. And I don't know. No one says boo. Because everyone loves Larry David, and they trust that it's part of a piece of art.
I don't understand. This is a way bigger conversation, but I don't understand. I understand it's a hurtful word, and no one should be calling someone that. But I don't understand this thing about not using words.
You mean even when you're talking about the word?
Correct.
I know. It's a tough.
It's a weird thing. It's like. Like, that's not the solution. Like, don't say that word. I'm like, what if you're telling the cops, hey, that guy over there said this word? You know what I mean? Like, he called him the word, and then now I'm not even saying it now because I'm scared. But he called him this word, and then he kicked him. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not using the word in a hurtful way, it's just a word.
That's how I feel,
but I also am not going to use it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that Kendrick, a mainstream black rap artist, made a detailed personal song about gay and specifically trans issues. If your angle from that would be to like be angry at him and be like offended, that's your choice. I get it. But not for me. I think Kendrick has earned our trust.
I don't understand how he's getting dragged about anything. Like, this shit is the guy. I mean, talk about a guy who makes a masterpiece of a, who loves the studio and creates this fucking.
Here's a quote. Eminem tells Dr. Dre that Kendrick Lamar's new album, quote, left him speechless.
Yeah, I agree. That's amazing.
He tweeted it. Eminem tweeted it. Yo, Dr. Dre, this Kendrick Lamar album's fucking ridiculous. I'm speechless.
Yeah, man. He did his thing on there, man. Is that his wife on the cover?
I think so. Oh, yeah. Looks like her. You never met her at the station before?
I didn't realize.
He brought her up there before. Kendrick's in Ghana right now. By the way,
yeah, I saw that.
And man, Kodak is so good on the album.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Those are the ones I'm going to skip. What the fuck? I hate Kodak Black.
Really?
I hate Kodak Black. I hate him. I hate what he did to you.
What was it? Well, kind of me, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I don't like that. Fucking do the interview, man. Fight in the interview. Make the interview worth something. Walking out is the cheapest, laziest fucking thing you could do. And then the shit he said about Nipsey. I don't fuck with Kodak.
Oh, no, that's... I forgot about the Nipsey.
That's a weird one to me. Why is he all over that shit?
Actually, you know what? I didn't really think about it in the context of the Nipsey thing. That he was saying shit about Lauren London. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he was like, Nipsey died. I'll take care of your girl. Fuck your girl. Whatever it was, like... Bro, anytime I get an email from Sam Crespo, Atlantic Records, about a new Kodak Black, I just delete right away. I don't fuck with Kodak Black.
So that's interesting. So I really enjoy Kodak artistically and think he seems like a deplorable person. But I do enjoy him artistically. Like
I never listened to him artistically because of that. I hated what he said. Well, and you know me, I don't give a fuck about anything.
And he also, I mean, then he was, you know, hugged up with Trump because Trump got him out of jail.
I mean, I even don't mind that.
Right. You could live with that.
I could live with that. Somebody gets you out of jail. Someone gives you a pardon, even if you pay for it. Great.
Right.
But that shit about Nipsey when he died, like, that's fucked up.
I totally forgot about that. That's an interesting thing.
Why is he all up on that? Why is Kendrick love?
I assume it's Kendrick, you know. Oh my gosh, no.
What happened?
I'm watching the Penguins game. I assume that it's about Kendrick's trying to prove a point by having someone who's sort of like the antithesis of Kendrick as far as like the culture is concerned.
You know what? I get all that. That's what I figured. Because I remember when I used to hang with Mos Def, all he used to... You know what I meant? I forgot to mention this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about K-Slay. All Mos Def used to listen to was K-Slay tapes. It used to fucking drive me bonkers. Like, you're underground backpack conscious rapper. And he's like, yo, this shit is hot. This shit is hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's, I think, that's the same kind of thing that's going on there, but I'll be skipping the Kodak ones.
Oh, wow. And listen, I respect your take on that, too. And listen, if he comes around and does press and I get to talk to him, I would be curious, because
Don't tell him I said that.
I won't tell him no more.
I don't want to get shot.
But I will say that I'm what just happened? All the time, huh? It's game seven, dude.
Pay attention.
Okay, sorry. Anyways, listen, I don't even want to go through all the bullshit comments and like that fucking lunatic in our Discord, Cuckoo Cal, who is fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo Cal.
Someone said Rosenberg's going till to all parts of the internet to cape for Kendrick. And then someone said, you know, look, I care about black. Cuckoo Cal said, kind of quoting me, like, look, I care about black people. Virtue signaling. Dude,
this guy is a Wannep fan?
Yeah, that's a Wannep fan. Dude, you think that's why I love the Kendrick album? Because I'm trying to prove how much I love black people?
How are Wannep fans saying anything like that? What's wrong with this guy?
Well, no, he's a fucking lunatic. He pays for our podcast and then just talks shit constantly.
Wait, is he the one that put out free episodes the other week? Or some shit? Or somebody
I don't think so. That wasn't him, was it?
No, it wasn't. They're literally talking right now. They're still going. They're even making up what Syph might say on the podcast right now. Oh, I haven't heard it yet. Was it good? Oh, yeah, I think Michael Che was playing it for Dave in front of me last night, but I wasn't playing it.
Okay, all right, that's a good look. See,
and
that's
Google why. Cal wrote, he's still rapping about being a crack baby. He's rich now. Get a therapist. Overcome the PTSD already.
Who? Who's your time out?
Cuckoo Cal wrote that about Kendrick. He goes, I haven't listened to it yet.
Wait, Cuckoo Cal's talking all this shit and he hasn't listened to it yet?
No, imagine
it was the real Cuckoo Cal.
By the way, you realize how big a fan and psycho this dude has to be that his name is Cuckoo Cal?
Well, at least we know who's going to kill us.
Oh. Penguins almost had a shorthanded opportunity, Syph. I know you know what I'm talking about. That idea, though, of like, I'm virtue. First of all, I hate the term virtue signaling. It's like this new, it's terminology that no one ever had. Syph, don't you hate when there's no word, no one has used a word, and then all of a sudden it's used so often that you're like, wait, if this is used all the time, how do we survive all of human history without this word?
Yeah, I know. I hate all these terms.
Like,
nowadays.
Virtue signaling is such an annoying word that's overused. But listen, I want to be clear about this. I think this is an important message, and I know that there are people who won't get this. No, I do not love the Kendrick album because I'm trying to prove that I care about black issues. I don't need to prove that anymore. First of all, it's who I am. Second of all, the people who don't like, there are already people who don't fuck with me and don't think I care about black issues. I can't do anything to convince them otherwise. So no, none of my taste has anything to do with that. But furthermore, there's something I would say to white people out there, because I've talked to some white people who did not enjoy the Kendrick
album. At the meeting?
No, Syph. A white meeting would be a Klan meeting.
Okay.
But I have spoken to some white hip-hop fans who feel like they're not that into the album, right? And they're like, and I know some of the stuff that they really like, and they like really, like, kind of base, you know, commercial, glorifying sex and violence bullshit. And I do think it's a little bit of like a, hey, you know what? You should probably stop and really listen to this album too. Like I know people don't want to say that because it makes them feel weird, but if the only hip hop you're getting is like street shit, drugs, violence, etc., there is something problematic with that. There is something problematic. Now, if you're black, there's a different set of standards, I suppose. You've got to listen to whatever part you want. But I think it's hard to be a white person who loves hip hop and say that you're really into the culture fully if you only want your shit to be bullshit. And the second someone comes out and says real shit, it's like, he's kicking knowledge. I don't want to hear this shit. No, because the only time that you want to hear from an artist, you know, Penguins just lost. The only time you want to hear from an artist, you know, about deeper issues, you go back to the music that maybe you're more comfortable with or that you were originally put onto. And I'm not saying you can't be a white person and not enjoy the Kendrick album. You can, of course.
What's race in any of this for?
Well, because it feels like weird to me. It feels weird to me when I hear people who I know love rap instantly be like, ugh, I don't like this. Because this album is about it's a deep, deep look at a piece of the black experience. Like, there, you can't, that's why it's like, so think about it. This is coming off this is post George Floyd. This is post 2020. This is post pandemic. You didn't think you were going to get an incredibly deep piece from Kendrick? What did you think he was going to bring now? Like, I just don't get it. And I just wish that other white hip hop heads would listen to this with open ears and not just be looking for music that always going to make you party. Not all hip hop is meant to take you to the club or get you hyped up. Some of it should be there to make you think. And I don't think that especially younger fans necessarily see it that way. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we came up and there was always a righteous side to hip hop too. There was like, you were into, frankly, there was probably, when we were kids, like 10 years old, there was probably more righteous hip hop than anything else.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Like, there was a lot. Like, the gangster rap was few and far between. But the X-Clans, the Public Enemies, the KRS-One, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Poor Righteous Teachers. There was a lot of, like, positive. What'd you say?
Brand Nubian.
Talk to Lord Jamar again?
Yeah, you're supposed to come on today, but you didn't hit me back.
Does he know yet that I'm on the show?
I was going to mention it to him, but he didn't say it.
That's unfortunate.
Whatever.
We have to make that happen, by the way. Saif, did it ever cross your mind, though, that Lord Jamar hates me so much, but he does all his interviews with Vlad?
I see him do a lot of interviews with Vlad.
Like, wait, you think I'm a culture vulture? I'm confused. I need questions. Yo, is Punk's Jump Up not... Punk's Jump Up is not on the Everything...
It's not on the album.
It's not on...
Which album?
Everything
is
Everything.
It's on Brand Nubian album.
Oh, it's on Brand Nubian. I'm on the wrong album.
Yeah. But even that album, it doesn't have the version.
No, it has this annoying one.
Yeah, the album version.
So
I
weird.
Actually like this version.
What about this? I see. This is that one. That album mix to me is the worst mix. The best one is, I think this is it.
Yeah, of course.
So this is the best one. Second best one. Diamond D. And then third, the album. It's so weird. We got to ask, do we ever ask it out why this is what was on the album?
I think that's the one that they made, and then they made the other version because they wanted to make it a single. But that used to happen a lot. The Method Man and Mary song is not on the album.
Well, no, it's a different version of it, yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
And now I can never remember which version of Method Man is this. The Method Mary's the right, which one's which?
Well, there's the razor sharp one, there's the puffy one, and then there's the album one. My favorite is the razor sharp one, produced by the RZA.
You know, that's the one.
I was talking the other day. I was talking to you know, Dave Chappelle. I don't know if you know this, but I work with Dave Chappelle.
You do?
The whole Method Man album was done before the Wu album.
It was done?
A lot of it, yeah, because you could tell the beats on the Method Man album sound like SP 1200 beats. And then the Wu-Tang album is when he started getting into, like, the ASR and all that shit. So, like, you know, they were so hot that they wanted to put Method Man out, and they already kind of had the album, but it was pre-Wu-Tang. So that's why it doesn't sound as good as Wu-Tang. I mean, I like it, though, but it's very dark.
It's your least favorite, though, of the albums, right?
No. It's not my least favorite.
What's your least favorite of those, of the first run?
I would say ODB.
No, you wildin'.
I don't like ODB albums.
No, it's Stife. You're playing yourself right now.
I don't like it. Sorry.
It's better than Method Man's album.
Well, I like
Come
Method
on, man, listen.
Album.
It's got
PLO
this.
PLO style.
It's got this.
I like
this.
The single.
It has this. One of my favorite records ever.
Yeah.
It has Dirty Dancing.
God damn well, I don't smoke this shit, man.
Scott. That's interesting. I'm surprised you feel that way. The snake style. He was known as the snake spirit. It's funny that Dirty has a song called Harlem World on his first album.
I like Old Dirty on Wu albums, but I never like Old Dirty solo songs, except for Shimmy Shimmy.
Really?
Yeah. I never liked Old Dirty. God rest the dead, man. No disrespect. I just didn't like his... I mean, I definitely like seeing him in a Wu-Tang show, but by himself, it was too much.
You don't even like Hip Hop to the Hopper? Hip Hop to the Hopper is a good one. She's got flip with these, making me for mercy. Gonna stop the music, please. No, cause I'm a pro. Back to the combo. Make a crowd say ho. Had a strip show. Represent. I mean, listen, I can see how it's an acquired thing. I mean, it's not like traditional rap in any way. It's him like vocalizing over. He's like an instrument.
So, yeah, man. So, congratulations, Kendrick Lamar. He's listening to this, right?
Oh, I'm sure he's listening. Yeah, of course he's listening. By the way, underrated ODB song, real quick. I ain't no digger. My words can't be held against me. I'm not caught up in your law. Wait for it. All music must obey me, all pain must obey me. I cripple my enemies, got the gift of vocabulary. I could talk my way up by anything. Nobody words can go against me, I'm stingy. I want all that energy. Cyrus, best nigga in the place to be. I 200 hot degree, burn you till you faint, y'all. Y'all niggas shooting blank, y'all. I fuck in my vest, drop an armored tank, y'all. That's a RZA joint off of
I need him on Wu-Tang Ad-Libs. Wu-Tang Ad-Libs, he sounds amazing. Shame on a
Oh, well, of course. He's the best ad-lib man in the game. I was explaining to Natalie this weekend, this song played in the car. I was playing like random rap playlist, and this came up in the car. Prepare for mic fight. And plus the Cold War. This rhyme you digest through the RZA console. X, Y, slam, non-diagram pole. Raekwon dropped the bomb, Hunchback, Nota Dom. And I was explaining to her how dope the Capadonna verse is on there.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we'd never heard this guy in our lives. Like, he had been gone for the whole...
Yeah, Wu run.
The whole Wu run. And then you're watching Don't Be a Menace to South Central. And I remember there's a scene where the car pulls up and that song's playing. And yeah. I can hear Raekwon's voice doing the chorus, the little chorus they do. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? That's a new Wu-Tang? And, you know, then they ended up randomly throwing it on the Ghostface album. So it's like, it's listed as Winter Wars is a Ghostface song. But it's not. It's a Wu-Tang song from a soundtrack.
Right.
And Cap just shows up out of nowhere and raps for about...
Fresh out of jail,
raps for about, what, 90 seconds? Does like 100 bars? And it's just... And then from that moment on, Cap was forever then a part of Wu-Tang. Like, it's weird because... I don't know. Wu-Tang's just so amazing because they have these members who have different roles, and his was like he wasn't there. He was gone. Then when he showed up, he was there for good. Like, that's it. I find it fascinating.
Wu-Tang.
Sypha, do you have any shows coming up this week you need to plug?
Nah.
You don't even want to?
I'm doing this TV show, so all my shows are fucked up.
How much longer are you doing this TV show?
Probably till like July.
Be honest right now. How insane is your schedule?
It's insane.
It's like out of control?
Yeah, it's crazy. Because my problem is first of all, they don't even tell me what we're doing half the time because they want these natural reactions. So it's like, you know me, I like to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to, you know, like they'll book me for one day, but then I got to run and go do some shows, come back. I had to jump on a 6 a.m. flight today to come back in time.
Wait, so where are you now?
I'm home. This is my house.
Oh, that's your house?
This is my new apartment. And me and Don Draper share this apartment.
And are you leaving again tomorrow?
No, it's it's here in New York.
Okay. So you're home for a few days?
Yeah.
Where do you go next?
For the show, I don't know if I'm all the stuff so far is New York, but I'm going to St. Louis for some Monster Energy thing.
Saif, also, I gotta say, man, that fucking shooting in Buffalo is so sad.
Well, I only read a headline.
So,
should we take it to Patreon?
I don't have time for Patreon today.
Oh, wow.
Is that bad? I still have to finish real late. It's 10:30 on a Sunday. I mean, this is tough right now, guys.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, that's bad.
Did Billy June tell us to go to Patreon? Or are you just being thoughtful?
No, I just thought maybe, you know, we should. Maybe I'll just go over there.
You can go to Patreon. If you want to go there, go to the club by yourself. You and Billy June.
Are you going to see Griselda this week?
You want to go?
I'm trying to go. I'm trying to go because a lot of comedian friends of mine are like begging me to get them in to like meet Wes and all that shit. So I might go do a lap.
Wait, what day? Which days is it?
It's Wednesday.
It's just Wednesday?
Yeah, I believe. I don't know. I don't know if it's just Wednesday, but they told me it's Wednesday.
Terminal 5, where is it?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, because I'm interviewing Love the Genius Tuesday. She's
cool.
Love the Genius. She's a Conway's artist.
Oh.
She's dope, actually. She used to be on a BLK on the radio in Buffalo.
Oh.
And so I really fuck with her because I fuck with all. You know, she was a legit radio host and then went for it. This is the record of hers I'm playing, actually, right now. It's pretty dope.
I grew up listening to Nas cause my cousin would play the Esco to Nostradamus while back in his say once we'll make a pinky promise we'll stab you in ways so pardon me if I'm too honest.
So I was gonna see her Tuesday. Maybe I will. Let me know if you wanna go. I might go through on Wednesday and say what's up.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go do a lap.
I recently did that when I, you know, that night I went out a while ago, and at first sight it had been so long since I'd been to a show, I forgot like what I do. I was like, wait. I was like, do I just like go to their dressing room and just knock on the door?
I would like to catch them before the show. Then I'll watch a little of the show and then I'll probably skedaddle.
No, that's called what you do.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, I can't do the after shit anymore.
Bro, I went to the Tyler show, played Madison Square Garden. He's super cool, always remembers, is appreciative. I went out to show love, went backstage, said what's up, stayed, went out in the crowd, saw him come out, saw a few songs, like, wow, this guy's fucking killing it, unreal.
Should we go get the car?
Yeah, I gotta go to bed. I love this guy. This is so cool. I can't believe he's doing this.
That's great that you say that he remembers and is appreciative. That's all we want. That's all we want.
Bro.
Just remember our contribution to your career. Yeah, and you with Tyler and Kendrick, you went above and beyond. That's a show love. That's all we're asking.
It goes a long way. It does go a long way. And listen, I gotten a lot out of it too, you know, like in obviously like, but at the same time, yeah, it's just nice when they know. Like I haven't heard any. I don't know if Kendrick's doing any press. I reached out and tried to get some info, and Dave Free was basically just like, "Hey, bro, we're trying to like keep the messaging here ourselves. Like we're trying to do everything right now." Because I was like, "Let me reveal something, you know? Like give me a news item."
Yeah.
Because I've done that before with Kendrick projects, so I was like, "Give me," and he was like, "Oh, we really want to control it ourselves." I said, "Hey, I respect it. I appreciate it. Hopefully." When they come to the point that they do media, I'll do something. But anyways, so I forget sometimes how to act at these shows. But the gun show, I see gun a lot, so they're always a good hang.
Oh, speaking of guns, what was that shooting?
That's how we started. So this Buffalo shooting, this lunatic white supremacist from Buffalo, I mean from a 3 hours south of Buffalo on the New York, Pennsylvania border, shows up, drives 3 hours to Buffalo, goes specifically to the black part of town, goes to a supermarket and just starts killing black people one by one.
Oh, inside or
yes,
outside?
Inside, one outside and then the rest inside, I think. 10 killed, 13 shot, 11 were black. At one point, by the way, he live streamed this on Twitch.
Wow.
It looks exactly like Call of Duty.
Wait, what do you mean live? Like, what, was he wearing like a GoPro on his head or something?
Correct. Yes.
Holy shit.
And I made the mistake of watching this video.
Oh.
It is horrifying. It's It's so disturbing. At one point, he's about to shoot a white person, and the white person's like, no, no, no. And he's like, oops, and he literally says, sorry. Sorry for, like, almost shooting you, white person.
Like, holy shit.
It was deep, bro.
Well, shit's fucked up, man.
It's and by the way, this is never going to change. Never.
You know what it is, though? It's always been this, just for different reasons, like war and fucking brutality, whether it's the Romans, the Vikings, the fucking colonizers, like it's all, you know what I mean? It's all in there, bro. It's just.
But why is it?
All this is a facade. All this society, social norms, rules, bro, within. When COVID first started, like the lines of the gun stores because of a virus. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like we were going to war. It was a virus.
I know. And yeah, and people were like, and everyone bought guns.
They not coming to my house.
No, Natalie told me about someone she knew who like literally went out, never owned a gun, bought 4 guns during COVID.
Yeah.
Like, what? And like, the thing that frustrates me about that is just fundamentally, if you look at the statistics, I understand the mentality to why people think having a gun is a good idea. But if you look at the statistics, you're much more likely to have someone in your family hurt by your gun than an intruder. Like, how often do you think the I have a gun in my home gets used on the intruder? It happens. It happens. But this whole idea that because of that, guns need to be this widely available. Like this dude, this 18-year-old white kid, if you're 18.
That guy was 18?
18.
Whoa.
If you're 18 and you don't have a record, you can just go to Walmart and get a fucking gun?
Yeah.
Like how long does it take?
No, no, no. You can go get a shotgun rifle tonight. The process is only for handguns. Go with your ID. 18, I think.
And then how do you get a crazy thing like an AR-15 or like a, you know, machine gun? Not a machine gun, but like a, you know, semi-automatic.
Yeah, that I don't know. I guess you go to those gun stores. I mean, when I was in Texas or Vegas, there's always those gun stores like or gun shows.
Like they can't just at least make it a thing where the process, like if you want a gun, it's like you have to show us you're really committed. Like, at least takes a few months. It's like, there's a process. You send away. We meet with you. Like, can you make it as hard as TSA pre-check? Like, it's at least. Because, like, this dude obviously was not well. How many conversations would you have to know before you know he's not well? He wrote a 200-page white supremacist manifesto. He was a fucking lunatic.
How long was this happening, like, on Twitch? Like, they didn't shut it down?
The whole thing's like a minute. It was short. It happened quick. And the cop showed up in less than a minute. Somehow he, by the way, was captured without being hurt.
Yeah, I heard that.
He put a gun to his own neck, and they convinced him not to shoot himself.
Bro, that's like, yeah, that's, I mean, that part of it is the, you know, remember that video that was going around where those two kids were fighting in the mall?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they arrested the black kid in the like that's just I've just accepted that. Like that's just what it is. That's just what it is. What are you gonna do? Like
I'll tell you, you know what you can do? You could start by just listening to the Kendrick album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just listen.
How could you not? I didn't even know there was bad shit being said about it. That's incredible. That's craziness to me.
I wonder if it's gotten any bad reviews. Like if people have seriously, like people who matter have actually.
No, that album is going to be in the books, bro. It's in the books.
Let's see. Well, The Independent says, Kendrick Lamar review, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, a tender opus from the defining poet of his generation. 5 stars.
Do you know the concept behind the name?
No.
I know something about. I know I heard one line in the album where he's like, "We're tap dancing around the issues," because there's all that tap dancing throughout the album.
Oh, and he, that's right.
So we're tap dancing around the issues. I was like, okay, that's clever.
Listen to it again, guys. Make some time. If you love it, you have great taste. If you don't, I mean, listen, I don't know what to say. Saif, you're a great guy.
Oh, thanks, man. And you exist also.
Thank you. Next week, maybe Lord Jamar. If not,
we gotta get Lord Jamar, man.
You know who else I'm being told wants to come on the show? We could probably have some good stuff. You may be familiar. Jersey's own Young Z.
Don't know him.
Yeah, you do from Outsiders?
Oh, the Outsiders?
Yeah.
Why?
He's putting out indie music and stuff, and he wanted to come on.
Young Z, wow.
I think Outsiders would have some stories. No, we should do that.
Oh my god, I used to hang with him. I think.
And yet you didn't.
He was the wild one, right?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he's the
wild one. I used to hang with him in my college radio days, bro.
Yeah, no, he was the wild one.
He was wild.
Well, I hope I'm glad you figured out that you knew him before he came on the show, and he was like, "Yo, Cypher, my man, I miss you, my guy." And you were like,
"Wait,
who are you?"
Who was in the Outsiders? Who was the other guy?
Pace One.
Pace One. No, yeah. So Young Z was the one I used to hang with. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was from Newark, right?
That's right. All right, guys, next week we'll be back with a guest of some sort. We hope everyone has a wonderful week. Cuckoo Cal, suck a dick.
Yeah, guys, everybody relax.
I'll give him more attention.
No. Seriously, everybody relax. I don't know what the fuck is going on or what you think this is. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And you know us.
Hip-hop nerd talk. That's it. That's what we're here for.
Why do you have to get like...
The biggest controversy of my week was an amazing Biggie line from 1994. Everybody chill out. We got to the bottom of it. Grape soda. Everybody should be happy that we've accomplished something. My detective skills are on point.
Besides that, fucking relax, guys. Let's all relax. All right, Saif, I got to go. I love you, dude. Cheers.
Years ago.
Good morning.
You know I used to DJ for Little Kim.
Good afternoon.
Do you know that I was I'm once divorced?
This is years ago. Years ago.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good night.
This is
Juan Epp fuckery.
This is years ago, bro.
It's a big day, ladies and gentlemen. Juan Epp is
what?
Listen, watch, don't listen, don't watch. I don't give a fuck.
Rosenberg. Yo, we're doing it for this thing we call hip hop.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.